Abraham's arrival in the land of Canaan marked a significant milestone in his spiritual pilgrimage. The Lord had told him to leave his home, to leave his family in the Ur of the Chaldees and journey to a land that God would show him. And now at this juncture in the record, he has arrived. It was a significant moment because it proved to Abraham the faithfulness of God. When he left the Ur of the Chaldees, he did not know where he was going. Paul makes that clear in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8. He went out, not knowing whither he went. He did not know the destiny. He did not know the final destination that God had planned for him. But he knew, as he went out of the Ur of the Chaldees, he knew that he had God's promise to guide him. God said that he would show him the place. And now when he has first set foot in Canaan, Abraham is able to say, God has kept his word. God has kept his word. The Lord guided him all the way, every step of the journey. Though he did not know where he was headed, though he did not know the destiny that God had planned, yet God guided him every step of the way. It was a significant moment because his experience in journeying from the land of the Chaldeans to the land of Canaan was evidence to him that as a disciple of the Lord, he could trust the Lord. Though he could not see ahead, he could trust all to the Lord. And that's the lesson that comes to every Christian this morning, as we read these opening verses in the chapter of this passage that we have read. As disciples of the Lord has a plan for us. He has a way for us to take, but he does not always show us or tell us what that destination is. But we can trust the Lord. The Lord will never fail us. The Lord will never disappoint us. The Lord will never let us down. Abraham learned this when he first set foot in the land of Canaan. Now, his arrival in Canaan was associated with three specific blessings, and I want you to notice them this morning. First of all, the altar. We're told in the verse 7 of this chapter that Abraham builded an altar unto the Lord. The altar. And then secondly, the appearance. You can see in verse 7, the Lord appeared unto Abram. And then thirdly, the assurance. The Lord said, unto thy seed will I give this land. Here is Abraham having obeyed the Lord, and now he has found the Lord faithful and true to his word. God has brought him into the land. And the land is associated with three things: the altar, the appearance, and the assurance. The altar, of course, speaks of the crosswork of Christ, great atoning sacrifice of Christ upon which we can have fellowship with God. On the basis of that finished work, poor guilty sinners are reconciled to God and brought near in fellowship to Him. I want you to notice this morning. Because the land of Canaan in this respect signifies the center of the will of God for a believer. And when a believer is in the center of God's will, the cross will always be foremost in his mind and in his heart. And that cross is the basis upon which we have fellowship with God. And you can see that as soon as the altar was built, that the Lord appeared to Abram. He had a vision of the Lord. He saw the Lord in his glory. His mind is taken up with the God of heaven. He's near to the Lord. And in that blessed state, he has assurance. God says to him, "Unto thy seed will I give this land. This is the land that I have spoken of, Abraham. And I will give this land to your offspring." He's got the assurance. Abraham is in the center of God's will. And in the center of God's will, he's at the cross. He's near to the cross. He's in fellowship with God. And he has assurance in his heart. The only place that you can have fellowship with God and where you can have peace and assurance in your heart is in the center of God's will. This is what Abraham had when he obeyed the Lord and when he walked in obedience to God's will. And it is what every believer will have when we are found in the center of God's will. When you're in the center of God's will, Calvary will not be a distant thing. The cross will be at the very center of your heart, the very center of your life, the very center of your affections, the very center of all that you do. Near to the cross. And you'll have fellowship with God. You'll live in the blessed experience of the countenance of God. Lift up the light of thy countenance upon us. Cause thy face to shine. Abraham is in the place where the face of God is shining upon him. He's near to the Lord. And near to the Lord, he has the assurance of God's word. The word of God is in his heart, and God says, "Abraham, I will give thee this land, and unto thy seed will I give it." What a blessed condition, what a blessed state to be found in the center of the will of God. I wonder this morning if it was possible for us to ask Abraham to make a comparison between this situation in Canaan and what he had in the land of the Chaldeans. I wonder what he would say to us. Is it not what any believer says when they've been snatched from the jaws of hell and saved by the grace of God, and the Lord has lifted them out of the world, transformed them by his grace? In the center of God's will, is it not the nearest thing to heaven? Is it not heaven upon earth? Is it not a foretaste of glory divine? What a blessed condition. And yet as we contemplate Abraham in this blessed condition, it becomes very difficult to comprehend what happened next in the spiritual pilgrimage. The Bible records here his departure from Canaan and his descent into the land of Egypt. It was a course of action that took Abraham out of God's will and into a place where God did not intend him to be. You can see it very clearly from this chapter. Abraham going down in Egypt. Going down into a place that God had not intended him to be in. And it was a place that he had to get out of. It was a place he had to escape from. It was a place where he found no blessing from God. What an event. The Lord is bringing to our attention this morning not only the necessity and the blessing of being in the will of God, but he's highlighting to us also the danger of stepping out of God's will. It is possible for a believer to be in a position where they can experience heaven upon earth in their soul. But it is also possible for a child of God to step out of God's will and to lose out with God. And that's exactly what happened with Abraham on this occasion. I want us to consider this place that Abraham went to. This place that he journeyed to out of God's will. And I want us to look at the lessons that we can learn from it. I want you to notice in the first place that it was a place of fear. Abraham left Canaan for Egypt because of the famine that had taken hold of the country. Verse 10 tells us, "And there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, because the famine was grievous in the land." The reason why he has left Canaan now, the reason why he has headed to Egypt, is because of this famine. We must never think that obedience to God will exempt us from troubles and trials. Sometimes we get the notion in our heads that if we're obeying the Lord, that we're going to have everything smooth sailing. Abraham came to Canaan in obedience to God's will, and the first thing that he encountered was a famine that was grievous. Obedience to God does not exempt us from troubles and trials. We should learn that lesson as soon as we can. If we're going to follow the Lord, if we're going to be obedient to His will, we must not conclude in our minds that course of action will exempt us from troubles and trials. We will face famines in obedience to God's will. We will face hard times. Here was Abraham in the center of God's will, but he faces a time of famine. What followed would teach him that it is better to be in a famine in the will of God than to be in the prosperity of Egypt outside of God's will. What followed would teach Abraham as a disciple of God that it is better to be in the midst of a famine in the center of God's will than to be in the prosperity of Egypt outside of the will of God? What was it that caused him to make for Egypt? Was it pressure from his family? Was it Lot, perhaps, putting pressure on him? Didn't like the famine. We know that Lot liked the easy life. You remember later on, he lifted up his eyes and he saw the well-watered plain and he chose that plain. We know that Lot was not a man who chose the hard way. He wanted things easy. And perhaps there was pressure from Lot to move south, to head down into Egypt. Or perhaps it was just an attempt to flee from hardship, to flee from this famine. Or was it a fear that they might starve, perhaps even die, if they stayed in the land of Canaan in the midst of this famine? The exact reason is not mentioned. But what we can say is this: the decision that Abraham took to head down into Egypt did not lessen his fears. It only increased them. The Bible tells us here in verse 11 that it came to pass when he was come near to enter into Egypt that he said unto Sarai his wife, "Behold, now I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Therefore, it shall come to pass when the Egyptians shall see thee that they will say, 'This is his wife,' and they will kill me, but they will save thee alive." He may have thought to himself that staying in Canaan may have brought hardship and it may even have brought starvation and death, but as he made his way to Egypt, his fears were not alleviated. In fact, his fears increased all the more. He fears for his life. As he approaches Egypt, he begins to feel terrified. The Egyptians will look at Sarah, and because of her, they will kill me if they know that she is my wife. It was fear that prompted him to leave Canaan. And if he feared that he might die in the famine, his decision to leave certainly did not alleviate his fears. It only increased them all the more. What is the lesson? The lesson is this. When we step out of God's will, it will never be a beneficial step for us. Often the devil portrays it that way. The devil paints Egypt as the solution to all our problems. Canaan is barren. This way of the Lord, Abraham. This way of the Lord is filled with hardship and difficulty. Look at Egypt. There's so much more prospect there. There's prosperity. And Egypt will be the solution to all your problems. But Abraham did not find it to be so. In fact, he wasn't even in Egypt whenever his heart began to tremble. As he came near to Egypt, he grew afraid. It wasn't the place of peace and ease that it was promised to be. It was a place of fear. You know, we will never be truly content. And we will never be truly happy and never truly satisfied until we are yielded to the will of God. God has His will for the life of every single believer. God has His will. God has the place where He wants us to be. Isn't it interesting? When God said to Abraham in the verse 1 of chapter 12, He says, "Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house onto a land that I will show thee." Onto a place. God had a place for him, and it wasn't in Egypt. God has a place for us as His people. A place for us to live. A place for us to serve. He has a local church for us to be members of. And He has a place within that local church for us to fulfill. Every single one of us who profess the Lord's name. But outside of the will of God, we will never be content. Proverbs 27 and verse 8 says, "As a bird that wandereth from her nest, so is a man that wandereth from his place." When you come to the last chapter of the book of Genesis, and you come to the life of Joseph, Jacob has died and his brothers are fearing now that Joseph is going to take his revenge, and Joseph said to them in Genesis 50 and verse 19, "Fear not, for am I in the place of God? Am I not in the place that God intended me to be? God brought me to this place." When you read through the book of Genesis and you follow the footsteps of the patriarchs, you will find time and time again, God has a place for His people. God has a purpose and a will for His people. And outside of that will, there is no contentment. There's nothing but fear and dread. This was a place of fear. But you know, secondly, it was also a place of falsehood. This decision to go down into Egypt brought him into a place where he had to live a lie. Full of fear for his life, he devised a scheme that he thought would solve the problem. He said to Sarai, his wife, "Do not act as my wife, but rather tell them that you're my sister and it shall be well with me. Everything will go well." Isn't it strange how twisted our thinking can become? That we think all can go well if we live a lie. It wasn't an out-and-out lie because Sarah was his half-sister. Chapter 20 and verse 12, Abram says, "And yet indeed she is my sister. She is the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother. And she became my wife." So Sarah, in one sense, was his half-sister. But what was Abraham doing? He was attempting to cover up the truth. He was trying to conceal the truth that Sarah was his wife. And in effect, he had to live a lie. Sarah was taken into Pharaoh's house. She was being prepared to be brought into marriage with Pharaoh. And all the time, Abraham had to live as though he was just the brother of Sarah, when all the time he was her husband. You see what's happening? There's a covering up of the truth. There's a living of a lie. When a believer steps out of God's will, they begin to live a lie. They certainly cannot stand up for the truth. Instead, they are engaged in covering up the truth. And the sad thing is this. The ungodly actually adopt a higher standard of integrity than a believer in that position. Look at verse 18 and 19. Pharaoh called Abram and said, "What is this that thou hast done unto me? Why didst thou not tell me that she was thy wife?" You see, Pharaoh, an ungodly man, had a higher standard of integrity than Abram on this occasion. "Why saidst thou, she is my sister? Why did you say this? So I might have taken her to meet a wife. Now therefore, behold thy wife, take her and go thy way." How very sad it is when the world's standard, when the world's integrity is actually higher than a believer's. But that is what happens when a Christian steps out of the will of God. They begin to live a lie. And the integrity of the world is higher than the integrity of a believer who is outside the will of God. This was a place of fear. It was a place of falsehood. But it was also a place of failure. Abraham left Canaan in the midst of famine, thinking that his action would bring greater benefit. He says to Sarah here, he says, "It shall be well with me. It shall be well with me. If we take this course, if we adopt this route, it shall be well with me." But how wrong he was. Failure was written over the entire venture. Cast your mind back to God's original promise to Abram in verse 2. The Lord says, "Abraham, if you obey me, I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing." Notice the three things. I will bless thee, I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Tell me, was Abraham blessed of God in Egypt? No. Was Abraham's name great in Egypt? No. He brought the reproach of the world upon him. The world viewed him with contempt. His name was not great. Was Abraham a blessing in Egypt? God said, "In thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." Was Abraham a blessing to the Egyptians? Look what happened when you come down the chapter in verse 17. And the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarah, Abram's wife. Abraham wasn't a blessing to the Egyptians. Abraham was a curse. Abraham was a plague. The Egyptians wanted rid of him. They sent him out of their land. They had done nothing wrong. They had acted with integrity. Pharaoh had taken Sarah, thinking all the time that she was the sister of Abraham. His intentions were honest. But these plagues came because of Abraham's action, because of his decision to go down into Egypt and then cover up the truth. Abraham was not a blessing. He was a curse. A life that is not yielded to God's will not only loses out on the personal blessing that God has for that life, it fails to be the blessing to others that God intends it to be. You see, God not only blesses His people so that we receive and enjoy His blessing in our own hearts, He wants us, He intends us to be a blessing to others. So that the blessing that we have, we will impart to others. We will share with others. And others will be brought into this blessing. But we can only be a blessing to others if we are walking in the center of God's will. If we step out of God's will, we will not be a blessing. We become a curse. We become a plague. It was a place of fear. A place of falsehood. A place of failure. And it was a place from which he had to flee. It would be comforting if we were able to say that Abraham made the choice to leave Egypt. But that was not the case. He was forced to leave. The Egyptians sent him away. The Lord turned them against Abraham so as to turn Abraham again to the Lord. What are the things that God has to bring in our lives to get us back to the Lord? What are the things that God has to bring in our lives in order to bring us back to the Lord? The Egyptians turned against Abraham. And Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away and his wife and all that he had. And Abram went up out of Egypt. Not by choice, but by constraint. His forced departure was the means of restoring him to the Lord. Chapter 13 informs us that he went back to the place where he first built the altar. Verse 4 tells us on to the place of the altar which he had made there at the first, and there Abram called on the name of the Lord. How clear the message is, a believer may step out of God's will. And such a step will bring no good, it will bring no benefit, it will bring no benefit, it will bring no blessing. Let us not deceive ourselves. The only remedy is to get back to the place where we left the Lord. The place where we first left the Lord. Abraham's journeys, as we will discover, are characterized by the altars that he built. The first altar that he built here was in verse 7. soon as he came into the land, he builded an altar unto the Lord. Isn't it interesting, in the remainder of chapter 12, there's no mention of building an altar in Egypt. He didn't build any altar in Egypt. He's away from the Lord. And away from the Lord, the heart neglects and forgets the cross. Forgets the sacrifice of Christ. And it's only at the cross that we find restoration. And we find grace. And we find mercy. And here he is, he's learned the lesson. Abraham's a disciple of the Lord. And a disciple has got to learn to follow the Master's will at every step. And if we step out of His will, it'll bring us to the place of fear. And it'll bring us to the place of falsehood. And it'll bring us to the place of failure. And it'll bring us to the place from which we will have to flee. Abraham came back to the place where his tent had been at the beginning. Back to the altar that he had made there at the first. Tell me today, are you still at that altar that you made at the first? When you were first saved? When you first converted to the Lord? Or do you have to say this morning that along the way you've stepped out of God's will? Your heart is far from the Lord. You're not enjoying the blessing that God intends you to enjoy. And you're not being the blessing to others that God intends you to be. Like Egypt, or like Abraham, you're in the land of Egypt. Possible. And here we find it in the Father of the faithful. But isn't it good that it didn't end in Egypt? He got back to the place where he had first built the altar. And you know what the message of this is? Yes, a believer can fail. But failure is not final with the Lord. Failure is not final with the Lord. Abraham realized the mistake that he had made. And the first place that he headed back to was the altar. We've got to keep near to the cross. And we've got to recognize that the one, the Savior who died on the cross to redeem our souls, is also the Lord of our life. And His will must be preeminent in all things. It is better to be in a famine in the center of God's will than to be in the prosperity of Egypt outside of the will of God. That's the lesson that Abraham learned, and he learned it the hard way. He learned it the hard way. You know, the interesting thing is, what a blessing Abraham could have been to the Egyptians. But because of this action, he couldn't be that blessing. It was left to a future generation. It was left to Joseph. And you remember how the Lord took Joseph down into Egypt. And how the Lord, remember what it says about Joseph when he was in the house of Potiphar? That the Lord blessed the house of Potiphar for Joseph's sake. The Lord plagued the house of Pharaoh because of Abraham. But He blessed the Egyptians because of Joseph. God is saying to us this morning, that if we want to enjoy His blessing, and if we are going to be the blessing that He intends us to be in this community and in our families and among our neighbours and friends, if we're going to be the blessing that God intends us to be, we've got to keep near to the cross in the centre of God's will. We've got to keep near to Him. And God will do as He has said. Let's learn from Abraham. Let's learn not the hard way, but let's learn from the example of Abraham to keep near the cross in the center of the will of God.